Let's take our Bibles together and turn to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 58. As we take some background understanding for our hearing this morning of the word of the fourth commandment, to keep the Sabbath day holy and what that means for us today. That Old Testament context still applies. Yes, one fulfilled in Jesus Christ, but not abolished for us. So let's hear the words that God is calling us to. Isaiah 58, and we'll read the entire chapter. We pay special attention to the reading of God's word, because it's that, the very word of God. Cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of their God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no pleasure of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress all your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours this day will not make your voice to be heard on high. Is this such the fast that I choose, a day for a person to humble himself? Is it to bow down his head like a reed and to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord? Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and to bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him, and not to hide yourself from your own flesh. Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, or seeking your own pleasure, or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord, and I will make you ride on the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Thus far the reading of God's holy and inspired word. And for our instruction today, we use the help of the Heidelberg Catechism, turning to page 52 in the back of your hymnal, to the teaching of Lord's Day 38 and the asking and answering of question 103. And again this morning, I will ask the question and let us all respond together in the reading of the answer. And so we are asked, what is God's will for us in the fourth commandment? And we answer, first, that the gospel ministry and education for it be maintained, and that especially on the festive day of rest, I regularly attend the assembly of God's people, to learn what God's word teaches, to participate in the sacraments, to pray to God publicly, and to bring Christian offerings for the poor. Second, that every day of my life I rest from my evil ways, let the Lord work in me through his Spirit, and so begin already in this life the eternal Sabbath. As far as the reading of God's word and our confession, may he apply it to our hearts and lives this morning. Congregation, beloved of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, some people can't wait for Sunday to come because it's a joy to them. And I pray that that would be, excuse me, something that we would consider to be the attitude of all of our hearts. But is it? Others know the struggle it is to get the family ready and to get everyone to church and to get their children to pay attention just a little bit. Others see Sunday as just another day, a second Saturday, as it were. Others groan about the Lord's Day. Do we have to go? Do we have to go again? I'd rather go to work. I'd rather do the homework I put off on Friday night or Saturday night. I'd rather watch football or NASCAR or golf or anything else instead of worshiping the Lord. And so I ask you this morning, how do you define or how do you describe the Lord's Day in your heart and mind? Do you love it? Do you love the Lord's Day and the freedoms and blessings that we can enjoy together because of it? Or do you loathe the Lord's Day? Frankly, wanting it to be over before it has begun. Finding attendance to church or to adult Bible study or to Sunday school or to catechism to be a chore, to be boring. Are you finding in your heart anything and everything more exciting and enjoyable than the worship and praise of the Almighty God? And if that's the case, why would we expect His blessing to be upon us when we worship? What was the word the prophet Isaiah used this morning? If you turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways or seeking your own pleasure or talking idly, then you shall take delight in the Lord. You see, it's more than about a day. It's about the Lord, the one who is Lord of this day and every day. And so this day, like any other day, is to be a delight to us. And if not, and especially now because of what is afforded to us, why not? Why not? Why isn't the Lord's Day a delight to us? And again, none of us can sit here piously and say, every Lord's Day is a delight to us. Even myself in my own brokenness, once set apart under the worship and leading of God's people in worship, there's still that struggle. It's not always a delight. It's our own brokenness, my own brokenness. But you see, when we don't delight in the day, all of us, we don't delight ourselves in the Lord and what He commands. It's not just about breaking some rules. It's breaking relationship of what the Lord has afforded to us. For does the world afford to us anything in this day that is more wondrous and glorious than His presence? Does this world afford us anything better than His love and righteousness, better than what we can find in the Church of Christ, namely the gospel? Does it afford us anything, anything at all better than worship and praise, better than the fellowship we share together, better than the chance to step away from our daily labors in trust that we might meditate more fully upon Him and His work and praise Him for it? You see, when we delight in Jesus Christ then, when we delight in the Lord's Day, when we delight in His grace, that's when we find joy together in Him. And so that in keeping the Sabbath day, the Lord's Day holy, not only is it important for our fellowship with Him and our fellowship with each other, but it is also important to the witness of believers, that in a very visible way, what we do here is a statement to the world of our love, of our trust, and that we are to be wholly devoted to the Lord. That we do not delight first in the things of this world, but that we delight in Him. That's what rest today is all about. That's what keeping the fourth commandment is all about. So we see this morning that the Lord teaches us the resting of the Lord's day, that we might rightly love God and our neighbor. And so we're going to see that this morning in what we're called to avoid and what we're called to acknowledge. And so really, in that way, there are many things we avoid. And maybe the problem with the Lord's Day, or talking about delight and joy, is that for many of us, at least in our experience, and maybe our kids would say, yeah, it's always about what we avoid. Don't do, don't do, don't do, don't do. There's no joy in that. But we're still called to faithfulness. So when we talk about that positively, and we'll get there, there are guidelines. There are fences that God gives to us. And so the first thing we avoid is this. We avoid dismissing the fourth commandment. And you say, well, we read the commandment every week. Nobody's dismissing the commandment. Really? Because of all of the commandments, the fourth commandment is the one violated and dismissed the most regularly. Of all of them. And there's some pretty big ones. More than the way that we hate one another? More than the way that we lust after the things of others in this world? Yeah. Some believe that the fourth commandment has a ceremonial aspect to it, that because it's been fulfilled in Christ, it's not ours anymore. And pastor, you being a student of the word, you know that the fourth commandment isn't reissued in the words of Christ anywhere in the Gospels, at least not explicitly. Do we really have to follow it that way? But often it is dismissed. Why? Because of us. Because frankly, there are other things we would rather do than worship and rest. And so this thing that was a part of creation, that which is written on all of our hearts, that which is ours as made in the image of God, our sinful nature seeks to what? To suppress. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to act that way. And so we too ought rightly to heed the admonition of the Lord in Exodus 31. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. Everyone who profanes it shall be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day shall be put to death. Therefore the people of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, observing the Sabbath throughout their generations as a covenant forever. Well, the people of Israel don't exist anymore. We are Abraham. The promise is ours. Generation after generation, the promise hasn't changed because Christ has come. It's been fulfilled. So I can't dismiss that. There is no stopping of the Sabbath of rest and holiness to the Lord. Or we live in separation from the promises of God. And so people, we are to keep the commandments just like the rest of them. And yes, we need to acknowledge that we break the commandment like the rest of them. But even then, it speaks to the fact that we need salvation in Jesus Christ. That's what this day is about. We don't need less of the gospel as we gather for worship. We need more of it. And in having received such salvation through faith in Jesus Christ and his perfect righteousness alone, we want to live in what? In thanks and gratitude. That's what Reformed Christians, like what Christians are to live for. And so on a Sabbath Lord's Day, we have received a great gift. That's something else we need to remember today. What we have today is a gift, every bit of it. A day set aside for our work of worship and praise. And yet the day means more than just that. And so the second thing we avoid is this, limiting the scope and force of the fourth commandment. Because what we'll often do in our way of wanting to build fences around fences is to talk about I don't work on Sunday. I don't do those things. I need to rest from my labors. I need to make sure I don't do unnecessary labor on the Lord's day. But am I the only concern of the law? It's how we talk. But is that the only force here? In Christ, we are given freedom once again to follow the law in gratitude. So that needs to be for me, as I love God. But there's that second part, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And your neighbor as yourself. It's not just an I for which I might be justified in myself about the fourth commandment. But when people seek to justify themselves for things like, and again, let's cherry pick in the way we do, for going shopping unnecessarily on the Lord's day, for eating out unnecessarily on the Lord's day, what do they say? Well, I'm not working today. And besides, those people would be working today whether I came or not. Many of you own businesses, and if no one came to your shop on a day, repeatedly, you wouldn't open. That's not just a word, that's common sense. But I'm not working today as I head out to eat, so that I don't have to work while someone else does. Love God and neighbor. You see, if Christians renewed an effort to obey the fourth commandment in gratitude, many businesses would cease to open on Sunday. That's just Christians. That's just committed members of churches. And that would be a good thing. And besides, again, you are called to be concerned for someone else. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. Why not? Because it's the command of God. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Remember that you were slaves in the land of Egypt, but that the Lord your God brought you out of there by a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. In obeying the fourth commandment, you are showing love. Love, not only for God, but for your neighbor whose Lord's Day you are protecting. Because what are you doing? What you're doing is showing them an example of your love and trust in the Lord. You're showing him your desire to serve him before all else and to keep yourself separate from the world in devotion to him. That is a work of the Spirit in our hearts. And so we are to avoid, in the third place, forgetting to rest. Because all of that doesn't allow us to do that. To rest. And so what does this mean? Kids, it's not about whether or not you take a nap on Sunday. Sorry, parents, we'll burst that bubble now. It can be a part of that. But that's not all of it. You see, we fail more often to the spiritual rest that the day is given for. We fail to place our trust and our hope in the Lord. We fail to place Christ and worship first in the exercise of the commandment. Who has preeminence in this day? Not the Detroit Lions, although they're not playing. Shocking. Not any football team or anything else. Not any family get together. Oh, pastor, I got family. We can't be in church. This is your family. The church is our home. This is where we gather. This is our rest. And so if we prepared ourselves for it, preparing not just this morning, sleeping in just as long as possible to throw our hair somewhere and get to church. Have I prepared on Saturday? Yeah, that party would be awesome, but I'm going to be in bed way too late, and I can't be focused on the Word of God on Sunday. You know what? That sounds like a great opportunity, but I can't because I want to worship the Lord and meet with Him. Are we speaking this way? Are we talking this way to our kids? Are we exampling this for them? Have we been involved in preparing for the Lord's Day, in praying for the one who will bring the Word, that the Lord might speak to our hearts together? In fact, we ask, who are your hearts and minds focused on right now? Right now. If they are not fixed on Christ, not just about being in a place for corporate worship, we have not put Him on the throne that His day rightly deserves. We're not resting. Because Jesus Christ, yes, is the Lord of every day, but it means He's the Lord of this day too. Then He said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." Today is a day to do His business and His alone. And so what we avoid and what we acknowledge in terms of the Lord's Day Sabbath speaks a lot about our relationship to the Lord. That how we spend our day every day, but especially today, speaks to what is the true love of our hearts and our lives. Well, let's put it this way. Jesus Christ didn't die for you and rise again for you and ascend into heaven for you, that you would be free on His day to avoid being faithful to His word, His law, and His day. So how are you using your gift? How are you using the gift that God has given you? And how are you using it to be a blessing to your neighbor? To serve him and to fellowship and love your brothers and sisters in this place, but also of those in our community and in our world. That's going to speak about our rest, as well as what we acknowledge about the day. Because those are some of the things, and again, we can't speak of every one of them, nor every ethical dilemma that we want to bring up in regard to the fourth commandment. But we need to confess that we do not avoid these pitfalls and sins as we should. So what do we need to acknowledge? First, we need to acknowledge the necessity of the gospel. That's our rest. The necessity of the gospel. Ministry in terms now of the fourth commandment. Because that's what this day is about. What's Sunday about to you? It's about worship. That's our answer. Worship. We are given rest from our labors that we might enjoy the spiritual rest that comes from hearing the preaching of God's word. That during the week, you all are doing the work of coming to God's word. Of breaking that open, fathers to your children. Husbands to your wives. Wives among each other and your children. We're invested in that work too as we're brought before the Lord in our own devotions, in our family worship. But on Sundays, while we don't avoid those things, what do we have the opportunity to do? We have one who has given himself to the study of that word to break it open for us, that we might receive it. Here is a man who is to be living out that word as an example before a body, to lead us in that way by way of the preaching of the word. It's a blessing. What do we get to do today? We get to hear the word of God. We get to hear the gospel. That's joy. It should be. And so, if that is a joy to us, then the necessity of that kind of service demands that we maintain such a ministry by way of our attendance, but also by the way that we maintain it financially. That we support the work of the ministry. That if the Word of God has a central place for us on the Lord's Day, and I praise the Lord that in a year's time living in this place, I have heard consistently, your place here, Pastor, is to bring us the Word of God and the Gospel. That has always been first. always first. If that's the case, and that's what we appreciate most and praise most, then what do we support most? That if it has central place, we do all that we can to provide for it. Not grudgingly, not non-existently, but we provide for it. That we give. That we give well. That we are challenged together to examine the ways that we give to the church and how we spend all of our money. Oh, pastor's talking about money, and my checkbook isn't sanctified yet. This is the word. This is our confession. This is what we profess in our profession of faith. So then how can we not give to the supporting of the ministry? How can we sit and be parasitic within the life of the church and not give? And we're not talking just financially. That we are not giving to the body life of the congregation. Word is central to us, but only what I want. It doesn't work. We give to the church. We support the ministry. And we should also give ourselves to making sure that other men are equipped to break that word open for God's people. That seminaries need to be supported. That our brother Tad is supported, not just by our money, but by our prayers. By our involvement. We look forward this summer to preparing him for an examination. That men would be sent out into the harvest field. We're about supporting that. And I know that this is hard talk. That's heavy talk when we talk about rest. But I rest in knowing that God will provide. Resting that God is going to provide through you. Resting that God will provide for our needs, whether in terms of a building or being a blessing to missionaries or keeping the lights on. Or being a blessing one to another in the way that we educate and teach and train each other. We give. And so, yes, we need to pay the preacher and support seminaries. But we have to acknowledge in that what the day is. One of rest and worship. One of Sunday school and other activities. But again, in hearing that, what is this day? How does the catechism describe it for us? If you have them open, look. Right there. That especially on the festive day of rest. Festive. Oh, those kids are enjoying the Lord's Day too much today. Festive. Oh man, our family has such a great time gathering. Festive. Festive. Allow that word to ring out. Joyous. Celebratory. Festive. And that accords with the delight we ought to have in this day. And so one thing we need to do a better job of teaching our children is the fact that the Lord's Day is one of rest and teaching, but also celebration. Maybe we need to remind ourselves of the same thing. The Lord's Day is celebration. Celebration of what? A celebration of the Lord's completed work in Jesus Christ. Celebration of the gospel of grace. Of deliverance. That's something to celebrate and to rejoice in. For if we have not been gripped in such a way by Jesus' completed work on our behalf, if this is not a time of great rejoicing for us, then we have to examine our hearts. Because we don't get it. And we're not afforded in our rest that which God promises us. And so he has given us each other this place, that we might be blessed by way of gospel ministry, in the shared celebration of his people for what has been given to us in Christ. And the glory of this is we don't just enjoy that celebration once or twice a year, But as God calls us every Sunday by way of the elders, calling us to worship both Sunday morning and Sunday evening. It's a reminder to us, people of God. And we can make excuses. The holidays make us lax. It's all on Sunday. What do? We worship. We gather in this place for worship. This doesn't become a subset of our priorities. It's the priority. We're here. You know what? I work all week. So do the rest of us. I don't get to spend enough time with our family. None of us do. All my little ones don't want to sit still in church. My husband can't be there. My wife can't be there. You know what? There are lots of people that sit in the pew without a husband or a wife there all the time. There's no excuse, people of God. We're here to worship. You're called to worship. And we need to do it regularly. We acknowledge the necessity of regularly attending worship. And think about the things that you do regularly. You do them often. You do them repeatedly. And those things are always good for you. Now, granted, you say, I don't like to go to the doctor for a checkup. I don't even like to go once a year. But there'd be something awesome about being able to go to a doctor every day just to know that you're okay. If we're regularly in God's word and with God's people, we want to be checked out every day. We want to be assured of grace every day. We don't want less of that. We want more of that. How much more than coming to the spiritual hospital for the care of our soul? And God invites us in his presence to do just that. And so if you are only attending one service, you're only taking in half. Half of the body life. Half of what God's trying to do in this place. Only half. And not only that, but your absence affects the body. Parts of our body aren't here. How do we function? How do we talk? How do we encourage? How do we love? How are we all on the same page? And not just about a building, but about our future, our vision as church. How do we do that if we're not here? And you are showing yourself disobedient to your vow of membership. You made a promise. So be here. And again, that's not a burden. Oh, I have to go to that festive day of rest. I have to go to that rejoicing and party and celebration of God's grace to me in Christ. None of us would talk like that. But that's what we show in our action. And the elders know. That's why they call you twice on Sunday, that this is best. So we come. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. How? Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. When we gather for worship, all of us, is that not an encouragement to you? It's what we need to hear. And so we gather regularly, twice every Lord's Day. And even on days like Good Friday, and Prayer Day, and Ascension Day, and New Year's. Because you have been called to worship. And more, where else do we want to be than with our family, with God's people, with those who rejoice in the gospel the same way that we do? So we come to be strengthened in God's word of promise, strengthened to pray to God publicly, strengthened as we bring Christian offerings for the poor. And we delight in it. Because of the necessity of everyday Sabbath. And here briefly we close. Because that's what the catechism is getting at. See, what we do here in this place today spills into the rest. It has to. Because there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God in Christ. That we look to that day of Sabbath rest, but now we get to practice. Now we have taste. And we look ahead on this festive day of rest, even in the taste that it is, to that day when we're going to have it full. In the new heavens and new earth, at the wedding supper of the Lamb, together with all the saints, rejoicing in what is ours in Him. So are you resting? Are you delighting? Delighting in obedience. Delighting in grace. And I know I'm cutting this short and you're like, no, it's not. There's a lot to talk about in terms of the Lord's Day. But I leave you with this. Those desires you have for other things, for control, for doing what your heart desires on this day instead of the Lord, will result in ruin for you, your family, and for others who see your example. So instead, rest. God's given you a gift. He's given you this day for it. And so may we all of us, recommit ourselves to delighting in the Lord of this day. It's His promise, right? Psalm 37, 4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. May He be our delight. Amen. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your word. And Father, it is a convicting word for all of us, because You have given us and promised us rest in Christ. And Father, we have become slaves to a host of other things, other than to Him and to the wonder of His name. Father, forgive us our sin. Forgive us those times where we wanted to use the Lord's Day selfishly instead of for You. And certainly not in ways that show that we love our neighbors. So, Father, help our unbelief. Grow in us faith and a greater desire for worship, for celebration in this festive day of rest. And may we do all that we can as brothers and sisters to establish the same. That what we do in reverence, but we also do it in joy as well. Father, may that Spirit live and breathe among us, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.